The title has been announced to you, which is The Christian Duty of Tithing. Have you ever noticed how we come to church Sabbath after Sabbath and no one comes around with a basket collecting money? That's not what people are accustomed to when they go to church. In fact, there are many persons who come here and say, so where is the offering? Where do I give the offering and where do I put the money? And in fact, if you have a good idea, as I have, because I came from the traditional Sunday keeping church background, services usually start about 8 o'clock in the morning. You get up. So just the way you would get up during the week and arrive at work in time, the custom is we get up and the first business we go about. That's not what really happens here. You get the earlier part of the day to reflect, to relax, and to come to services in the afternoon. Even with that, there are some persons who find it quite difficult to do so. But whilst I was in my Sunday keeping church, not only were offerings collected each Sunday, but we had maybe three services. We had morning service, afternoon service, and night service. And at each one, offerings were taken up. Apart from that, during the week, midweek, when we have other activities, offering is taken up. So it really looks strange that you are not, money is not being collected in that way from you. But I want to tell you this. Here is what is not the reason. It is not because we are not in need of money. That's not the reason. It is because we adhere to what we see in the scriptures about tithes and offerings, where tithes are part of your income, which God allows you to earn, and the offering are the amounts we collect on high day, holy days, we collect an offering. God said, three times you appear before me and you bring an offering and so on. Now, it is not against God's will for you to make some kind of an offering or donation or so, but the pattern, the system that is laid down by God is that is a way in which the church collects money and takes care of its business. And so because we abide by this system, you know, it happens that for too long, we as ministers have neglected to remind the brethren about this method, the way in which God has instructed and the way in which we operate. And so many persons have innocently forgotten that they are supposed to be paying their tithes, and that their offerings on the high holy days are very special. It's not just what you happen. It is something that you actually think about and prepare in order to come to those high holy day services. And so the onus of the blame is upon the ministry for not constantly reminding the brethren about this aspect of their Christian duty. And so that is why today you're going to be hearing this sermon, and you're going to be hearing many more that is going to be reminding you of this particular aspect of your Christian worship. So, what is tithing? For most persons, when the word tithing comes up, the first thing that comes to mind is money. But money is not the primary idea behind tithing. Tithing is first and foremost an act of worship and building a relationship with God. It's a Christian duty in which one gives back to God a portion of what God allows them to earn. And God specifies that portion and the regularity of it, which is each time that you earn. So if you're earning weekly, you pay the first part, the first thing you take out of your money are your tithes. And that is what is done. If it is monthly, then likewise. If you are a person who is once per year, you draw down your big profit from your business or whatever, however it is, you can do that. But the point is that it must really reflect honestly the tithe, the 10%. And that's where the word tithe comes from. It really means tenth, T-N-T-H. And so it is really what is done. So that is what should come to mind. Not money first, but our commitment to God, commitment to worship, and our covenant with God to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ, where we are contributing to the work that God has ordained for the church, which is the work of the spreading of the gospel and the caring of the ministry and the brethren who are in need. So, God is not really primarily interested in the money first. The money comes as a result of something else, which is the idea of acknowledging God as the provider, the one who gives us all of whatever it is we are going to earn. And we worship Him with this portion of our tithe. But let me give you a little better sense of that in a more practical day-to-day example. Have you ever seen a mother giving to her one-year-old child food and drink, and then say to the child, "Give mommy some." It is not because mommy is hungry. It is not because mommy is greedy. It is not because mommy, the food that is there, because mommy has far more, much more food than the child could ever consume. But there is an important reason that mommy is saying, "Give mommy some." What usually happens with that child is the child saying, "No." Normally. I grew up in a family of with many, many children. So, I mean, I've seen it over and over. And "Give mommy some." "No." "So you don't love mommy?" And the child may not answer. But the idea of having to give what you think entirely belongs to you, which an easy transition to make. And I want to say this to you. That's human nature. It happens to us not only as children, but in this sense, where God gives us all of what we have, yet when he asks us to give him back, it gives us difficulty in trying to come to terms with that, whether we should give him as much as he asks for. But that is our human nature. But what is it that the mother was trying to do for the child? What was in the back of the mother's mind? Primarily, the mother was seeking to develop a relationship with the child. That's really it. That's why I say, give mommy some. Because mommy has all this love that she pours out. And mommy wants this love to be both ways. Give mommy some. And after a while, of course, the child comes to understand that important relationship between being charitable towards mommy, showing the love and all the care towards mommy, but just spontaneously, or it just becomes the default setting where the child is not doing that. Now, likewise, that's what tithing is. It is that God who created and loves us and is bringing a relationship, bringing us into relationship with him, first of all, provides us with everything. Now you tell me of one thing it is that you have that it is not as a result of God's favor, goodness, and kindness to you and to me. There's nothing you can think of. There are some persons who would like to sit and say, yo, what are you talking about? Like this gentleman who was in the garden, he kept it very clean in the public Hope Gardens, we call it. And some tourists came in and saw it and say, wow, this is so nice. Goodness, look at these plants over here. Gosh, and look at how it is nicely laid out and, oh, the beauty and so on. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. And the gardener who was sitting close by heard them talking, said, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong, but you should see it when God alone had it. I had to come and clean it up. Sometimes we tend just to look at our part and what we are doing for God and how much we are a gift to God. And God is so fortunate to have us. But it is God, even if you think of the fact that you work 48 hours or 60 hours for that week, where do you think your strength comes from? Where do you think your mind to think comes from? Where do you think your consciousness comes from? All the things that it takes for you to work and to earn and to accumulate and to bring all of that together. We need to think of life in terms of first God and then us. And so the scriptures are very clear about these things in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. In the same way that the mother is trying to build a mother-child relationship, is the same way in which God builds a relationship with us. And the way in which he does it is just what it said here in 2 Peter 1 and verse 13. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. In order to live a godly life, it doesn't start with us. It starts with the fact that God has made the provision and given us what we need in order to live that godly life. It is in that context I want us to understand tithing as not about money, but about the worship and the relationship that God has brought us into. And therefore, we are not the source of the things we have. That God is the source of the things we have, whether it be material, spiritual things. The breath that is in our nostril belongs to God. I want us to change the whole mindset. Because most times we're thinking about ourselves and how much I am going to give. You are going to give? No. It is how much God has allowed me to keep out of what He has given. And the portion that must be given back to Him. When the child says to mommy, "Here," the child is giving to mommy what mommy has already given. But it has meaning. That is where the value is. This is the meaning of what is being done. And when we don't do it, we are harming our relationship with God. We are putting our spiritual relationship in jeopardy. We are becoming our own greatest enemy in our relationship with God. And this was what God meant when He said in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 17 to 18 to Israel, when He was sending them into the promised land, and He knew that life would be so much better than when it was in the wilderness. Life would have been so much kinder. But He knew and understood the human heart. And here is what He said to them, that He is saying to us today as the Israel of God. He warned them not to say to themselves, "The power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." That is the idea. That is the problem. That is a human nature, the sin nature, where after we begin to feel a sense of being our own and prospering and doing well, we begin to think that what we have is as a result of the power and might of our hand. Do not say to yourself, "The power and might of my hand have given me this wealth." Instead, here's what He said to them. "Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." I want us to get into a mode of worship. I want us to get into a mode of love for God. I want us to get into a selfless mode where we drop ourselves and place our hearts and our minds upon God. A little song that I always love singing says, "We have come into this place to concentrate on Him and worship Him." And then another verse says, let's forget about ourselves. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Leave all of the preoccupations and the passions and all the things that are crowding out our lives. And let go of ourselves and allow God to take over. And to take over our lives and to lead us that we may walk in the way that He has carved out for us, that we are so often neglecting because of the preoccupation. Tithing is not for God's good. Tithing is for your good. When you fail to tithe, you are invoking a curse upon your life. I want you to know that. I want you to know it. When we fail to tithe, we are shortchanging ourselves. And that's no pun intended there. But really, we are shortchanging ourselves when we fail to tithe. And we need to come into an understanding that this is not about just money. It's a deeper, more important reason behind tithing. Similar to the Sabbath. Similar to Sabbath keeping. What do you think Sabbath keeping really, in principle, is? God gives us 7 days. He gives 7 days. We live for the 7 days. And He says, now, 6 days. Use it for yourself. Do your work. Do your this. Do your whatever. Whatever. Okay? Go ahead. The Sabbath is for the Lord. You do none of your work in it. Give it to the Lord. It is God who created the day. You and I cannot, could never cause the sun to come up and to set. To create a day. It is God. It is His day. It is a favor that God has done to us. Has given us. To bring us into this relationship. How hard can our hearts become? How stiff-necked a people can we be? How insensitive can we get? When all that fills up our hearts and our minds is us, is what we have. Not understanding what God is doing. So, if we put it in context, tithing is giving back to God the portion of our income He has prescribed, a tenth in the first place. As an indication of our love for God, our relationship for God, our interest in the work that God is carrying out in the earth, and obedience to God. When we do that, tithing does not become an issue. It's no longer an issue. So we have to change the language. We have to change the mindset. We have to change the perspective and get it right. When I tithe, I'm not doing God any favor. I'm doing myself a favor. And when I don't, I'm putting myself in danger. And that is it. Now, therefore, is it an optional matter or is it a mandatory matter? Turn with me now to Malachi 3, verses 8 and 9. Because God is going to speak very plainly. He's hiding nothing. He's not in need. There's nothing you and I can add to him. But he is making it sure for you to understand that this is not your money. It's not mine. Verse 8. Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? What? Rob? You mean my money? You know, as I say this, I remember this gentleman. Oh my goodness. You know, just look at how people think. There's this gentleman on the corner of the road, and he stands there and, you know, he begs. Okay. And so there was this gentleman who each day, morning he drives up, you know, at that stoplight. You know, the guy's right at the stoplight, and he'd come over and the man gave him $10. So, of course, he received the $10. But he's there every day, so the man passes. After a while, the man decided, okay, he started giving him $5. He took it. Then after a while, the man started giving him $2. So the gentleman turned to him, the one who was begging, I said, boss, I'm trying to speak in the Canadian, if I were speaking. I said, boss, I want to have a word with you, you know. So the boss said, yes, what is it? I said, you know, I noticed when you started giving me this money, you used to give me $10. And afterwards, I said, you cut it down to $5. I know, boss, it's only $2 you're giving me. So I turned to him and said, but my friend, I don't understand you. Don't you know I have children to send to school and a family to feed? He turned to him and said, then boss, tell me something. Is my money you're using to send your children to school and to feed your family? Mindset. Just the way you think. Because you were giving, the thing was being given to you, and you forget who is giving it to you, and now you're saying this is your own. Human nature. Will a man rob God? You rob me, says the Lord. But you ask, how do we rob you? You're asking me how you rob me? Let me explain, says God. In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. When we do not pay tithes and offering, we are no better than the people who go about robbing others. When we fail to pay tithes and offering. That's God's position. Not a human position. You rob God. And then look at the consequence. Verse 9. You are under curse. The whole nation of you. Because you are robbing me. These principles that we are seeing here are very important for us to bear in mind. So let us change that concept. That look, whatever I have belongs to God. It is I who have privilege where God has given me the majority. God has given me the bigger portion. God has given me the bigger portion. I should be rejoicing. That's a beautiful song, ladies. Beautiful song. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Wow. Beautiful. I wasn't there either. But I understand it went very well, as Deacon Allen said. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Can this be said of you and me? Are we robbing God? Are we truly paying our tithes and our offerings? Are we? Let's be honest. You don't have to tell anybody. Ask yourself. And if you are not, should you now get into a right standing with God? Would you make that decision? Okay, so he said you're under a curse. But look at the other part of it. Go to verse 9. Where am I here? You're on verse 10, is it? Yes. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Pardon? Yes. There may be food in my house. God's household needs to be supported and sustained. And he's saying, bring it. And then he goes on, test me in this. Because I know you're having little difficulties. I know you're having little second thoughts. You're wondering, well, I have so many bills to pay. And you know, the children are, I have so many obligations. I know you're thinking of that. So here's what he says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You know, it's a faith matter. You talk about faith. Tithing is about faith. And if we are going to increase our faith, if we really are going to be growing in faith, we are going to want to say, boy, my God, have I been sinning against you so much? To get down on your knees in prayer and in tears and cry before God for the violation. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to get in a right standing with him. Verse 11. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. In other words, a layoff is coming. I will avoid you being laid off. You won't be one of them when everybody else is being laid off. And the wines of your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. It is a wonderful thing, you know. It's a wonderful thing. Tithing is a spiritual matter. It's not a financial matter. And it's a faith matter. And it's important for us to take that seriously and to move on with it. Now, here's another question. To whom should you pay your tithe? That's an important question. Because some are of a view that you can pay your tithe to whomever you wish, to any charity you wish, to any project you wish. Another section of the church apart from the section in which you are. Is this really what God expects? Let's talk about it. Because, you know, it doesn't look like a bad thing. your tithing, it belongs to God. Is it God it belongs to? So if you're using it to do godly things, it doesn't sound like a bad idea at all. It doesn't sound like a bad idea at all. So let's look at it. Let's examine it a little closer. Because what the point I want to bring out here is that in everything pertaining to God, there is order. God is not a God of confusion or one that lacks order. So let me cite you another example and ask you how you would deal with it. So you say the reason you tithe and send your tithe elsewhere is because everything belongs to God. And this is a good project over here going on. So I send it there and I send it here and all that kind of thing. Well, here is another principle of scripture. God says, all authority belongs to God. Every authority, you know. Not just church authority. The governance. There's no authority that is established that God has not allowed to be established. And God says, you must give to Caesar what is due to Caesar, and give to God what is due to God. Now, in giving to Caesar, you live in Canada, and what you give to Caesar are your taxes. So you have a thing called tithe, that is God's amount, and you have taxes, that's Caesar's amount. Now, do you, because all authority belongs to God, and it is God who provides all of what you earn, do you now turn around and say, you know what, the taxes that I'm getting here in Canada, you know, I'm not going to pay it in Canada. I'm going to send it to Jamaica because they're in more need of it. Is that a reasonable point? No. It's not. Even though it is God who provides you with the ability to pay your taxes, and even though both the government of Canada and the government of Jamaica are authorities established by God, you just don't do that. The authority under which you fall, you pay your taxes there. That's what God would want. God says, give to Caesar what is due to him. The taxes are due to the Canadian government. And the Canadian government knows that very well. And will take some action if you don't pay it. Now, God does not give the church any power to take any action over it. But you have made your place of worship with this body, this part of the church called CGI. And there's a community. In the scriptures, when you looked at the various churches, you will see that there was a community where the churches, they actually had some form of government over them, so that when Paul speaks about the various churches, he spoke to them in the sense of their own particular circumstance. There is a structure. There is a structure. And so, if there is going to be a transfer of funds, say, from UCG to CGI, for example, then the authorities in UCG would say, okay, we're going to send some funds over to CGI. In the same way, the government of Canada would look and say, in a bilateral agreement, we are going to, you know, assist Jamaica in these areas. So the governments can do it. But the citizens can't do it. We're talking about a principle. We talk about the principle. Because We do not have the administrative responsibility over our tithes. All we have to do is to pay in our tithes. And therefore, what citizens can do is they can say to authorities, listen, don't you think that we should be, and therefore, that is where probably some influence can come in the matter. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So Paul would say to the church in Galatia that he was the church in Jerusalem. He was going over to Galatia, I think, however it went. And he would say to them to lay aside. And he told them to lay aside some of their things because it was primarily an agricultural economy. So that when he comes, he will collect that. And he, Paul, will take it to them. So he, as the person who is administering these things, would make that decision. But not willy-nilly. Not just, you know, we just do it all over the place. There is this sort of order and relationship that is within the structure. And we should think about it. So, if your spiritual home is the CGI, then you pay your tithes. Ensure it goes to the right place. The tithes are sent into the London office, and that money is used for the administering. For example, the place we rent here is paid from the head office. So they pay the cost of whatever our lease is here. So every week we come here, there is a cost. And each time a minister comes and travels from, say, whether the U.S. or across Canada and whatever, there is a cost. And it is those traveling costs and so on are paid for by your tithes. And where it becomes necessary for salaries to be paid, which is not something that is common, particularly in the Church of God International, that too is paid. And those are sort of some costs. So, you see, we have to act like a family, like a community. You can't say to this man, all families belong to God. All families. But the person who this is your home, and you are earning your money, you don't just take your money and say, we're just going to give it. Or you have to work within your family. This is the structure. So, no one is saying to you, you have to make the CGI your family home, your church home. Nobody is saying that to you. It's something that you have the right to, you know. If you have, for example, moved from one area to another area and therefore, you know, it is, you know, nobody says that. Nobody says that. But once you have adopted that and you fellowship and you worship and this is where we are working together and we are growing together and so on and so forth. Then, this is how you do your tithing. You do your tithing based on, and that is how we do it within the CGI. I know we can raise a lot of questions and so on, but I'd like for you more to dwell on the reasonableness of what we're talking about, and the scriptural, you know, alignment with what we're talking about, and to say, you know, really, should I really be the one just sitting down and saying, I am going to do this, I am going to do that? The only reason I can do that is if it's mine. No. Hold on. So you want to send some money to Jamaica. After you pay your tithe, you can go to Western Union and take some money out of your account because that is your money. And you can send it to Jamaica or to whoever you want. To whoever you want. Forgive me for using Jamaica and Canada, but you know, there's so many other places you can send your tithes, your money to. But you do have that right now to send money to wherever you want. But it is not your tithe, because your tithe does not belong to you. Does a man rob God? Well, you think this is how you're robbing me. Because I didn't tell you that's how you must bring it into the storehouse, which is God's house, and let it be put there. So, every institution, whether it be a home, a school, whether it be a business place, or just a regular organization or government, there is no organization that does not require money. By the way, do you understand money? Do you realize that money is the one thing that affects every aspect of your life? You point me to the thing that is not, that money is not required. But if you're going to tell me, oh, spiritually, that's your tithe. If you're going to tell me, you know, oh, I've paid off for my house already, so money is not a problem. You better pay your taxes. Everything. Money is common to human relationships and existence, and is necessary for the proper functioning of any and every institution. So what we want to establish here is that God has a financial system, as much as we have a financial system for our home, a financial system in a school, a financial system is there in the business place, there's one that the government has, there's a financial system. God is not slack in his business. He has a financial system, and you and I are relating to that system. I want to leave a good portion, and we have 25 minutes to go, of our time here, more for interaction. I want us to be able to talk and to think, because maybe there is something here, something there that is your thoughts, you're bothering you. But for example, should I tithe if I'm in debt? Is a question you may ask. I'm in debt. You know what? I'm going to start paying my tithe, but just give me the next 6 months. Because what happened is, I have to clear off this debt. And then I'm in a position to tithe. So should a person tithe when they are in debt? Is it reasonable? Does God want you to be in debt? No. So since God don't want me to be in debt, should I do what God wants by getting myself out of debt? Well, you know what? That's a kind of a reasoning that ignores what God says. In other words, you cannot go and take your taxes to pay off your debt. Your taxes belong to the government. So you cannot go and try and use other people's money. In this case, God's money. It's not yours. Please, can I just ask you, don't say it aloud, but just say it to yourself in your heart. It is not mine. It doesn't belong to me. I will have to learn to be disciplined and learn that this is not my money. It is God's money. And so, in that way, and I want to say this, that the more you are trying to solve your debt before you pay your tithe, is the more debt you're going to find yourself in. More you're going to find yourself in debt. So, and you know, I know that when I speak here, I'm not speaking to, it's not, I mean, there are so many persons here that pay their tithe and faithful and do that. So you know that's not one. I'm speaking here because also, you know, we are being recorded. I'm speaking about tithing and the responsibility of Christians to tithe. And I want it to be understood generally. But you know your position and whether you are just doing what you're supposed to do. You see, the scriptures say, there's a way that seems right to man, but it leads to destruction, leads to death. And we have to understand that. Because we can reason and put all of those thoughts behind our mind and say, you know what, I am going to do it this way because it looks like the better thing to do. And you know, I don't want to bring embarrassment to God, because if I don't pay, maybe what they're going to do now is to come, and the bailiff is going to come, and then people are going to hear that this person who is a Christian, that the bailiff came and do so and so and do so and so and do so and so. I understand, you know. It is not an easy position to take. But you know what? It is best to obey God first. Because it is God who is going to deliver you out of all your troubles. So if you obey God first, that is why he says, you know, listen to the word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything, God will ensure that everything else is taken care of. It's a faith move. I tell you, it's a faith move. And we have to be able to understand that if we don't learn to seek first the kingdom of God, because you know that when you don't pay God, it's also a debt. Oh, so you want to pay off your debt? Pay God's tithe. Stay out of debt. Stay out of that debt. You don't want to owe debt to the one who gave you the money in the first place. No. Pay God's tithe and make God your partner. Get down on your knees. When we're in trouble, God knows. But many times he tests the heart. And he wants to see if really and truly we want to obey him and we want to love him. Or if we're just doing it out of convenience. And that was really the issue, you know, with Job. That was the issue with Job. Job did not know what was happening. That there was an issue where God, where Satan went up to God and said, you see that man Job down there? That man Job down there that, you know, you were saying is so faithful and he's doing so well. The only reason Job is doing so well is because you are protecting him and because you are doing well for him and Job is secure. But if you, God, ever remove from around Job all of those protection, I'm sure that Job really doesn't love you. Do you know that there are many discussions that take place that the accuser of the brethren go and you don't know the argument that is taking place? And how God is standing up for you and standing up for me and say, what do you tell me? That man Bernard? I know him. See, they say, yeah, you think you know him? Well, just give me a little chance with him. And God say, all right, I tell you what. You go ahead and do everything. All you do, don't touch his wife. And he said, don't take his life, right? And of course, you notice everything else Job lost, but he didn't lose his wife, by the way. Yeah. You may wonder, well, what are the reasons? And this now is just me saying this. Is that what God gave back Job was 10 and 100-fold, right? And he wasn't going to give him back 100 wives. So he didn't bother to touch the wife. Let his wife stay. But no, many times when we are going through problems, brethren, it's because God is standing up for us. And we are really bringing God to shame. Where he has stood up for us and we are not willing to stand up for him. We have to change our mindset. And to say, you know what? There's this problem here. I know what is going on, you know. Because God gave me an idea of what is going on when he gave me the Job story. And he's telling me that the reason I'm going through all of these things, because many people are going to believe that, you know, I'm out there sinning. And it's because of that. Why? And it's the same thing Job went through. But you know what? I'm going to be a Job. I'm going to stand up. Even if I rot alive, I am going to stand up. Because I know my Redeemer lives. Yeah. I know my Redeemer lives. And even if death comes, my question is, if a man dies, shall he live? Hallelujah! And if I can die, that's the worst thing you can do to me.
In fact, it's not the worst
thing. The worst thing is not death. The worst thing is to lose your salvation. So what you want is, you want to die in Christ so that you can be rewarded when the day of reckoning comes. So the test he gives us is for us to go through problems with the debt and all that to see if we will rob God. But in all of your doings and in all of your transactions and negotiations, one thing should not be with your financial decisions is do not rob God. Now, you know, some people are smart. They say it's not robber robbing, guys. Borrow a borrowing. So I'm just borrowing from God. God is not in the loan business. He is in the give business. He gives. God gives. He's not lending you anything. So don't go to him for a loan. He's going to give you. There are other questions which we can reserve for another presentation. Such as, is tithing simply an old covenant or a new covenant? But I know that we don't have problems with those kind of questions. I know that you, because of your study and you understand that you keep God's law, that, you know, many who say his law is abolished at the cross. You know that, you know. So we actually are not folks who have that mindset. But just in case there are one or two persons or so on, you know, we can deal with those things as we go along. But I don't want to, you know, and what I want to do is to break at this point and to give you an opportunity to sort of, let us have a little discussion. It won't be for long. It will be for 15 minutes. You know, 3:30 is around the corner. And then after that, if there is need for a part two, we will do a part two. But what I really want to do, I'll be here next week, and I really want to get down into some spiritual growth and spiritual maturity presentations. So that if I don't have to deal with tithing next week, I will skip that and we get straight down. We're coming up to Pentecost, and the reason that the church was in one accord when the day of Pentecost came is because they were in the process of building a community of love, a community where I am my brother's keeper. And we are going to do that. People are going to know us because of the love and the Christian maturity that they see when they come here. That is what is going to be the mark of this congregation which God has blessed and placed here in this city.